Oh, I tell you what, this is the life, isn't it? Traveling around Europe. Good morning, Jacqueline. Where do we find you today?
In Lausanne, Switzerland. And it's gorgeous, I must say. Oh. It's been a while since I've been here, but yes, the headquarters of the International Olympic Committee. And I'm here because the Brisbane or Queensland candidature for the 2032 Olympic Games is picking up momentum, and there's a quite a heavy-powered delegation here to meet with Olympic officials. There's the Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, as well as representatives of Scott Morrison and also the Labor Party, and also state politicians and mayors. So it's bringing a united front to Lausanne to say to the Olympic bosses, we are serious about this bid. It has political support across the spectrum by both political parties and also through local, state and federal levels, and that we are incredibly serious about putting forward this bid. The Brisbane, they do have a feasibility study. They're looking at the numbers and crunching the figures, and they're looking to have the Queensland government to formally decide whether to bid or not by the end of the year.
Was LA the only place to ever make a profit from the Olympic Games?
No, it depends whether what you count as a profit.
Yes.
Because there's the operating costs and then there's the infrastructure costs.
Yes.
So for the Southeast Queensland Games, there's going to be huge infrastructure and transport developments that would be fast-tracked because there would be a deadline of 2032 for it to happen. And so we're talking billions of infrastructure there, but what a great benefit for the community and the commuters in that area. But, you know, is that a cost of the Games? You know, not really.
Mm.
And that's why Sochi was so expensive, you know, because they built an entire new ski resort tunneled through mountains. And I think that was something like $50 billion, wasn't it? So that was an extraordinarily enormous Games, but they produced a whole new resort and ski, you know, area for Putin. So
What year are we looking at again, sorry?
2032. So it's... sounds a long way away, but the IOC have changed their rules. So it used to be they would make a decision 7 years out as to which would be the host. This time they're going to have a host city bid commission set up, which will look at who's interested. They will kind of even seek perhaps bids from countries that they consider might be, you know, useful to bid. And that hasn't been set up yet. So that will happen this year, and there would probably be a good 12-month period for anyone to put themselves forward for 2032. But Brisbane is really ahead of the pack here. I mean, they have done a feasibility study. They're about to have their budget, you know, really fine-tuned. And the rivals on a political level are far more risky. There's maybe a North and South Korean bid put forward. There might be an Indian bid, and there could be a proposition from North Rhine-Westphalia in Germany. But that bid has the Games spread across 13 cities. And even though the IOC has said, well, look, we're interested in being able to, you know, reduce the costs and spread it out amongst the, you know, perhaps one or two cities, 13, I think, would be an enormous stretch. So with Southeast Queensland, they're looking at it being contained within, obviously, the Sunshine Coast to the Gold Coast and including Brisbane, and maybe a football game up in Cairns and Townsville. So it's quite a compact Games, really, when you think about it.
Tokyo 2020, Paris 2024, Los Angeles 2028. So there you go. They're already locked in. Now, what has been the wash-up of what's been an incredible time over there for Australian cricketers, Jack?
Well, I mean, you saw the celebrations of the team. They were pretty ecstatic, weren't they?
Very much
so. And, you know, singing, you know, Kumbaya. No, it wasn't Kumbaya. True Blue on the pitch and doing push-ups. And, you know, they were absolutely ecstatic. As far as England is concerned, they've said they're going to keep the same team for the last test at the Oval, which starts on Thursday. And, of course, this will be the last match that Australia's coach, Trevor Bayliss, heads up the England team. His contract finishes after this test. test, and he'll be heading back to Australia. So there's some interest in who might take his position, and the favourite at the moment is another Australian, Jason Gillespie. So that's
he's currently at Yorkshire, isn't he? Or he was at Yorkshire.
He was. He had great success at Yorkshire.
He got Coach of the Year, I think, didn't he? They won the title.
Well, there's a suggestion that, you know, he's really brought on Jofra Archer, and also he developed Joe Root. So there's a feeling that he is someone who resonates well with the players and can get the best out of the players. Question marks about Joe Root's captaincy going forward, of course. But it's interesting that, you know, the English kind of are now, there's a little bit of a blame game happening, you know, saying, well, Trevor Bayliss, you know, he's better with coaching the white ball than the red ball. And, you know, they've been concentrating too much on the 50-over game and not the test match games. And but I think they were just, their bowling attack was just exposed, wasn't it? You know, they lose Jimmy Anderson and, you know, it all falls downhill. Look, we've got Steve Smith, then they don't.
That's right.
You've just summed it up.
That's right.
We've got Steve Smith and they don't. And we've got Pat Cummins and they don't. And, you know, losing Jimmy Anderson was a major, major blow for them, Jack. All right, what's on the menu in Lausanne, by the way? Obviously something pretty flash.
A toasted sandwich.
There you go. It'd be a good one, though. And it'd be expensive, too.
Yeah, 16 euro.
A croissure, you know, a little bit of a fancy French name, but it's a toasted sandwich.
Good on you, Jack.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.